morning, everyone. Father, we just ask, God, even as we begin our worship today, God, that your Spirit would just rest on us. Fall fresh upon your people today, God. Let us experience your presence. Father, as you flow freely in this place. We want to thank you, God. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Lift this up together.
Sing praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom come, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. So we sing praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. You rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, saved, and the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not yield, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the Son of Jesus Christ, who is resurrecting me. Hey, we sing praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise the Father. Sing
praise the Father, praise the Son.
Hallelujah this morning, God. Praise forever to our King of Kings. Father, we have come. We have come to worship you, God. Father, in the moment you rose, the church was born. Father, and all of heaven redeemed. Father, all of heaven rejoiced at what had just taken place. Father, for the glory of God was revealed. The veil, Father, was split in two, and our Savior rose from the dead. God, you forever redeemed the church that day. Father, we have come in your presence. Father, we praise you today. Oh, God, that you would inhabit the praise of your people. God, that your presence would fill our lives. Thank you, God, for what you are doing and what you have been doing and what you will continue to do as we praise you and give thanks to you. All of this we ask in your holy name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I don't know. Do we got another short, John? One moment it goes good. There it seems a little bit better. What's going on in the life of the church? VBS, I don't know if you saw the pictures yesterday or this past week, but while all of us working together, there was a multitude, a big onslaught of individuals at Evanswood this past week as they celebrated VBS. And thank you. Thank you for the participation. Thank you for sharing together. Thank you for the supplies. I understand the event was a great success, so we praise the Lord for that. Let's see, what's next, John? We made the decision this past week. A lot of things are going on this summer, so we're going to take a break until after Labor Day with Bible study and dinner. Just a lot of people are away. There's a lot of things going on. We're going to pick up probably in the fall for Micah. Not for Micah. But for the book of Micah. I want to clarify, we're not doing for Micah. But we're going to pick up in the fall the book of Micah and start studying a little bit more for the fall. Well, it came out for Micah, but I want to make sure we're clear. We're not laminating or doing anything work-wise. Well, we can. I mean, there's plenty to do. But we'll pick it up in the fall in the book of Micah. Bread breakers. You know, we forgot to post it. What can I say? I'm not blaming. This is no blame game. There's other things going on. But that's supposed to happen next Sunday. So we kind of said, well, what do you want to do? We thought about doing a potluck. And we went, sort of. And I think we just decided, is it okay if we head over to Golden Corral? Are you guys okay with that? Food Fest, that's next Sunday. Please join us. That's over off of Hall Road. Not Hall Road. It's Hall Road and Hayes.
Yep.
It's behind the golf. I mean, Jonathan, if he goes, he can probably stop into the golf store and pick up a new set of clubs because he probably didn't golf very well at the golf outing. I'm just predicting. Don't want to say the obvious, but I heard rumors. But that store right over there by Golden Corral has a new set of clubs. You could probably take some golf lessons. I'm kidding him. I don't even know how he golfed. I was just predicting. But that's over there. If you guys are okay with that, we'll do that. Reverend Karen Odakra, she preached for you guys a couple of weeks ago. Karen is actually leaving. I don't know if she talked about it. But she has taken a new ministry position in Western Pennsylvania. She was with Farmington Hills Church of God for a long time. She's been over at Lighthouse, and Karen has her doctorate. Karen and I celebrate our work at Ford, and about a year and a half ago, there were some changes made, and she's been looking where God is moving in her life. She is heading to Western Pennsylvania in a new position of ministries there. And she's going to be heading that up, and we're going to miss her. Western PA just got a wonderful spirit. And so that celebration is coming up July 14th. If you want to go, please let Lighthouse know. You have to RSVP. I already did ours. Metropolitan Church is doing Women of Ministry. That's coming up. That's there. What else we got, John? All right.
Getting warm, bro?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting warm. Ready to warm up. So that's all the information. There's stuff in the back, the food pantry. I'm not going to belabor that thought, but we were worshiping earlier, and Aaron happened to pick the same coat I did this morning. But we didn't know that. I wish I would have timed the shirt, the change, but I got on my Hawaiian shirt, so we're going to do the luau up here. No, I'm kidding you. But we're going to worship the Lord. These next two songs, wow, I can't tell you. We started worshiping earlier, practicing, and God just poured out His Spirit on these songs. So whether you want to sit or stand, just worship the Lord this morning, and hopefully our sound will work the way that it should.
Forevermore,
That is above all others. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Father, You will wipe away every tear. One day, God, we will rise together. And together we'll celebrate for all of eternity Jesus Christ, our risen King. Father, every burden will be lifted. Every trial will be overcome. Every battle, every victory has already been won. Oh, hallelujah, God. What a victory we have in Jesus Christ. God, one day the enemy will be defeated. One day we'll stand together. One day we'll celebrate in all of eternity before our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But until that time, God, we are going to worship You, Father. We're going to give praise and honor and glory to You, God, for we have this awesome opportunity to say thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in this place, for what You're doing in our lives. No matter what we face today, this is a day, God, that You have given to us. Father, we want to praise You. We want to thank You, God, for what You have done and what You will do. We want to thank You, God, for this opportunity. Father, we lift up in prayer. We continue to pray for Suzanne and Charlotte, who is at home. We pray for Judy, who has not been feeling well, for Deborah, who is away. We pray for our churches around us. Father, I pray for my daughter's church, Goodland Church. Father, we ask that Your presence is with them this morning. God, as they embark and they talk about a very difficult subject, God, we ask that You bless them today. You'll bring unity and peace among Goodland Church. Father, we pray that You'll bring unity amongst us. No matter what we do, God, that every knee will bow and confess that You are Lord. No matter what challenges we face, no matter what enemy comes against us, You are victorious, God, this morning. And we pray that as Renew gets ready to embark on a journey for her family, God, that Your presence goes with her, that You've already begun the journey, that You've already laid the foundation, You've already set everything in place, that Your Spirit will rest upon her. Oh, God, have Your way. No matter what she faces, let her face it in Your presence, God. No matter what journey comes to her, Father, You are walking with her. Bless her, Father. Give her traveling mercy. Give her safety. Give her Your presence. Let Your Spirit go with her. Give us Your presence this morning, Father. It is a time we have gathered in Your name. There's much to be said, Father, but right now, God, have Your way in this place. We continue to pray for the needs of the body, the multitude of those that I know, for the Scotts and the Robs and the Suzannes and all of those that continue to need Your physical presence, Father, lift them up. For the spiritual challenges that we might face, the enemy, God, he's nothing but a liar. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet, Father, we have a Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. He is victorious. He has risen from the grave. Father, bless Your people today. Oh, God, as You wipe away every tear, You are our Creator, God. And we thank You, Father, for Your presence today. Oh God, when the world around us seems to be in turmoil, there's floods, there's rumors of war, there's violence on every hand, we can come into Your presence and You can grab a hold of us, Father. Holy, holy is the Lord our God. Father, have Your way today. And Father, then, as we leave this place, as we have gathered, let us be assured that You have heard us, God. You've blessed Your people. You've touched us, Father, with a renewance. Father, that in Your presence we can give thanks. Father, thank You for all that You're doing. Father, in just a moment we're going to open up the Word of God. I pray, God, that You'll remind us of the power of Your Word. Father, let it speak to our hearts. Let it speak to our presence. Let it speak to our minds. Father, that we will know it's been good to be in Your house. Thank You, God, for all things. For we ask all of this in Your holy and precious name. Amen. 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 How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? That many of you could probably tell me some of the taglines from David and Goliath and what took place. But I wonder, when you got dressed this morning, did you choose your designer clothes and your designer shoes? How do you look this morning as you got dressed for church? This message is entitled, Don't Wear What Is Not From God. And we oftentimes look at what we wear based on the clothes we have on, based on the styles and the fashions. Have we brought Jesus into this place? Are we ready to lay everything down at His feet? Are we ready for the moving of God and the power of His Spirit to work in us for the good of the day and the glory of His calling? I've not brought to you a Jesus made of wood or stone. I've not brought to you a Jesus that's been carved by human hands or conceived on the canvas of a paper or bought in a local store. He's not a Jesus that is sitting on a shelf and not designed and defined by the limitations of this world. I bring to you a Jesus that David understood. I bring to you a Jesus in the power of what He did that day and what He can still do today. David wore the power of God when he encountered an enemy. Today we're going to see this story, and I hope from a little different respect. So if you will, let's read into the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And John, will you move all the way to verse 32 for me when we pick up? So, if you will, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And I want to pick up at 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse 32. So go ahead and move it there, John. He's going to be like, I got to find it first. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Now, up to this point, there's a lot that's taken place. David has been out in the field. The Philistines have gathered. They're advancing against the army of God. And we pick up the story here in verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only just a kid. You're just a young man, and he's been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Wait a minute. Your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. That does a lot good for me. When a lion and a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, guess what I did? I went after it, and I took action. I struck it down and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck and killed it. Your servant's has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defiled the armies of God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." I love David's courageousness. Saul said to David, "Then go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around. Because he was not used to them, he said, "I can't go in these. I cannot go in these," he said, "Saul, because I'm not used to them." So guess what? He took them off. David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approach the Philistine. May God have the blessing. You can be seated. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he was despised him. And he said to David, "Am I nothing but a dog that you come after me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said. I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with the sword, the spear and the javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord Almighty and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled this day. The Lord will deliver you into my hands and strike you down. We'll head on through this passage. You can read it at your leisure. So tell me, what do you remember about this narration of David and Goliath? What sticks out in your mind in the whole story? Huh? Goliath was a big guy. Goliath, it is said, was one of the warriors in the Philistines. He was like no other. He had been trained from his youth. He was strong. He was big. Nothing up to this point had defeated him. But keep in mind, this warrior had an armor bearer go in front of him. The armor bearer's responsibility was to take some of the swords and slings from Goliath to keep him safe as he advanced against the enemy. So the two of them were a huge foe. What else do you know about the story? Slinging rocks into the battle. All right? So we have the Philistine. We have David with his slings and his rocks. What else do you know? He took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. Off with your head. One stone. Now up to this point, if we think about this story, this is one that kind of defies the odds, does it not? In our history, we talk about it. The Philistines and Israel were coming into battle. The Philistines were winning at every turn of events. It is one which we teach in vacation Bible schools. It's one we teach in Sunday school material. It's one that is commonplace. And we always talk about David, the Philistine, the bag and the three stones, and how God defeated with one stone. We talk about the end results in David cutting off the head of the Philistine, Goliath. We all talk about odds, defying the odds and success, even when we look at stories that defy the odds, and people like Susan Boyle, who wins a national talent show, has a successful career. We think about David and Goliath, and we think about Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson. Harry Truman defeated Thomas Dewey. We talk about stories of where unsurmountable odds people face. But the truth of the matter is, we look at this. Among the Philistines and Goliath, this whole story tells us about, despite his size, he would have been quick and nimble. And the Philistine would have been something that shudders the deepest of those. Against the alpha male, we know that David, who was called a little boy by his own king and enemy, David had zero experience in war. But does that matter? Not in this story. He could hardly move with wearing the armor bearer. He was never trained in a sword nor spear and had to rely on a device of a boy, the stones of the wadi. David had no special background. A tender of the sheep, he protected the flock against renegade animals. Of course, David's shepherds are armed with gun or at least the ability to call for help. It's not that David was stronger than the bear or lions, but that he had a lifestyle shaped to focus truly on protecting the flock. Now imagine what it would be like if you had to go 1 hour without your cell phone. Imagine what it would be like if I told you you couldn't have internet access for 24 hours. No Google searches. No opportunity to phone a friend. No opportunity but you and you alone facing the enemy. We constantly can witness the miracles of God. The shepherd boy, David, was grown for this purpose. Perhaps we can just enjoy the story and face our challenges. Perhaps we can think about the Philistine and the army and just say, oh, what a great narration and story of what God has given to us. This story still holds power today in the battlefield and against our enemies. We talk about the narration of David and Goliath, but I want you to remember, God is with you. No matter where you go, Goliath's disdain against David, David calls out the power of God. How many of us really know that God is with us? How many times have you been in dark storms and wonder, where is my God? How many times have you been backed up against a wall and said, God, I really can't see you. I can't hear you, but I know your power is at work. How many times does the enemy look so much larger in life than what you're facing? And oftentimes you wonder, God, where is my God? We wonder at times that we've been promised all things, and we've been told that God is with us. Unafraid, we still shudder at the giants in our life. But here I want you to focus that not only of the power of God and the narration, but I want to spend the last few minutes talking with you. You cannot wear the world to fight for God. What does that mean? Pastor Mark was writing in his newsletter this past month, and I just happened to be reading it, and I thought, wow. So some of this was from our state pastor, and I thought, how fitting. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. So he said, from the Message translation, he said, so if you're really serious about living this new resurrected life in Christ, the Message says, act like it. Pursue things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along with your eyes to the ground, absorbed in the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert in what is going on. That's where the action is. See things from a different perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is in real life, even though it's invisible, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is your life. When He shows up again and again, over and over again, the real you, the glorious you, will come out. We are going to be victorious. Our life can be shaped by things and feelings around us. But because of that, God explodes in power in our life. He said, you're done with your old life. Put off that old self and ill-fitting clothes that you've stripped off and put on the power of God. Now get dressed in a new wardrobe. He goes on to talk about this passage. And he said, Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in the Message. He used an illustration of clothing to describe how our lives with Christ have changed. Now, here's where the whole idea comes in. You and I can obviously see that you got dressed this morning. I can obviously see that you put on clothes. Stanley's wearing a tie. I am not. I got out the Don Ho Hawaiian shirt this morning. Some of you may have gotten designer clothes on. Some of you may have just kept it simple. You don't have the price tags or the names, but you're wearing and you're dressed. You see, in our life today, we've been told to put off the old self. What does that look like? What does it mean that you cannot wear the world and fight for God? He made an illustration. How many of you go back to your closet every now and then? And you rifle through the clothes and you get back to this back corner and go, man, I haven't worn them clothes in a long time. I wonder if they still fit. You know, that tie-dyed shirt that I used to have and the 3 or 4 inch platform patent leather shoes that I used to wear and the bell-bottom pants that I had in the closet. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, folks. You dig through the closet. You know, we have that certain stack that fits right in the middle and our go-to. We have them when we're not feeling really well and we're feeling a little bloated. Or we ate too much food over the weekend, we go, I'm wearing those loose-fitting clothes today. And then you break out some of the other clothes and you're thinking, suck it in, Jim. You'll be able to button that thing up here pretty eventually. And you go, no, this just ain't working. This body that I used to have years ago isn't fitting into those clothes. And sometimes we go along thinking, we have this right design. You see the fashions we used to wear? They're not in place anymore. And you know, we have these cycle things to wear. The fashions, they come and go. And I thought it was pretty cool this morning that Aaron and I, we got the same coat. We're clicking this morning. He didn't call me, I didn't call him. But you see, that's how it is sometimes. You go out and about in life and you think, it's like when you buy a new car. You've never seen those cars before until you get on the road and you buy one, and now that's all you see. But our real life in Christ, as a Christian, what does it look like? What should we look like? How should we act like Christ? How should we pursue the things of Christ? How do we focus on His blessings and see the Lord's perspective? Paul suggests that you and I deal with a spiritual wardrobe. Well, David dealt with that. And this morning as I was driving to church, I heard, I think it was Rachel Kerr, she was writing about a new song. About being changed, turning my weakness into strength, turning from my old self and returning to a new image. It's like returning to the closet and wearing the garments that I wore 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Is that fashion coming back into style? But I want you to think about this. The old garments, what am I talking about? You see, people want to put a cloth on you. They want to tell us what it should look like. They're going to say to you, well, first of all, you're too old. God's not using you. Now you're still too old. You're past your prime. Have you heard that? You're retired now. You should live life in the easy way. Live and enjoy retirement. Or they might say, you're a girl. You can't do that. You're too young. Didn't Paul talk to Timothy about that? You see, the world puts on us a clothing that says, wait a minute, let somebody else who has more energy do that. We wear clothes in our lives. Maybe we're like David. David coming up to them and his brother saying, boy, get back to the flock. Go back to the sheep where you belong. You don't belong out here in the battle. This is for the real warriors who spent their life serving. Go back where you belong. David says, wait a second. I'm not going to wear the clothes that you put on my life. You see, we wear those things like doubt, fear, anxiety, isolation, concern, instability, labels of the day that you're worthless, you're no good, you're useless, you're invaluable, you're a loser. Ooh, the word we hate the most, stupid, fat, ugly. Words of the world, you're too young, you're a woman. You don't have any talent, you don't have enough money, you're not smart enough, you're not courageous enough, you're no talent. Stigmas and names that we wear. And I'm telling you, what God is saying to us today, you can't fight a battle and win a war when you're wearing the wardrobes of the world. And what God wants you to know is I didn't go to a cross for a loser. I didn't die for the sins of the world so that you would have a name and a stigma attached to you. You see, the world wants to put clothes on. And when David went out against the Philistine, that big Goliath said, you punky little boy, I'm going to make mincemeat of you. Your heart better belong to God because I'm about to chew you up and spit you out. Little boy, you come against me with sticks and stones against your little God? Well, he didn't know that our God is much bigger than the sticks and stones that come against the Philistine. And whatever you're wearing today and whatever tag they want to put on your life, Don't wear the tags of the world, because God is saying to you and I that we are worthy. Get rid of the old garments. Get rid of the ill-fitting suits and bad tempers and the irritability. Get rid of the dirty talk, the profaneness. Get rid of the old self. Throw them off. And Paul said, we can run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. David was reminded that when I go out into battle, I go in the name of the Lord. When we step out of this church and we head out into the battlefield, we're going in the name of God. And we are victorious. And the world wants you to wear them. The world wants to look at you just like David and the Philistine. They want you to say, well, you're just nothing. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be successful. You don't deserve the right. You don't have the honor for this. It's not worthiness. You just don't fit in. You're not part of the crowd. And God says, yes, you are. You see, when we wear the world's garments, what's it look like? We follow, for you and I, our eternal fashion designer, Jesus Christ. And when we fit and fit together in the styles of this label designer that God has given to us, He said, you move from being invaluable to a valuable. You move from being nobody to somebody. You move from being just a simple girl or a simple boy, some Jew or Gentile. You move from some color of your skin to a valuable individual. We go from being a loser to someone who is successful. We go from being all kinds of names and price tags that are on us to being somebody. You see, when we step out in the battlefield today, the quality of the garments is by the quality of our God. And what we find in this story today is Paul is encouraging us to let us walk in the realization that we wear the garments of a warrior, the garments of a God who loves us. We are clothed with kindness, humility, compassion, meekness, temperance, and oh, that famous word that somebody loves, love. Paul encourages us to be fit together in a wardrobe of Jesus Christ. You see, when we come into the church, God takes and strips off all of those old clothes. God strips off that ill feeling. God strips off those stigmas. God strips off the fact that you might have been told as a kid you're not going to be successful and you won't be anything, to a God that says, yeah, you are. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He wants to cultivate in our life today. This story is a wonderful reminder that David comes out of the field and into the firing line. David comes out in a mere meekness, and David comes out in power. What happens to you and I is to realize that we can do something. We can be somewhere. You know what? You can't wear it. I love that story where David tries to put on that sash, put on that sword, put on that helmet. They said that helmet must have weighed somewhere between 5 and 10 pounds. David starts putting on all these clothes. Imagine him, just a little sash, little spear, or a little walking stick, and David's little sling with him. David comes out, and the world tries to put onto David, you want to be a warrior? Let's give you the garments. Let's give you the biggest gun. I always like Men in Black. I like watching that show. We were watching it the other day, and he goes, well, here's your gun, and he gives him little, like a little pea gun. And he goes, what? They're going to give me this gun? How about giving me one of those big guns? And he goes out to use it against that bug, and it sends him flying. See the labels. The labels of, in order to do it, I got to have the big gun. I can barely carry it, but I'm going to fire it. God says for you and I, that's what happens when we try to wear the clothes of the world. Well, finally, David goes out in the strong name of the Lord. In Him, we are all dressed up. We have some place to go. We can reflect on our own life and the garments we used to live in. We can be transformed. We can cultivate a new life. His Word can dwell in us. We can be dressed up and know that God has given us all things. When we put on the full armor of God, we fight a battle. God says we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. The sword is the Word of God, the shield of faith, feet shod with the gospel of preparation. See, God knows that we're fighting a battle. It's not against each other. We're fighting a battle against an enemy like Goliath. God says, get ready. Put on the garments of praise. Remember that song? Put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. You see, when we put on the garments of praise and we begin to lift up the power of God, this morning I had to tell Aaron, I said, man, I got lost in what was going on. I got lost in the Spirit of God. I got lost in the music. I got lost in the presence and the power of God. And I just wanted to throw off all the things that might have hindered me in the course of this day and just know that I can sing for joy, for my God is victorious. And I can be like David, and we can face the giant today in this world and go, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fit the social stigmas of this day. I don't need a Jenny Craig diet. I don't need Weight Watchers. I don't have to worry that I don't fit the mold of what they want. I can be 63, and I don't have to be 50 anymore. I can be exactly the way God has chosen me. And God can use you and I just the way we are. You can throw off the world's voices. You can throw off the nonsense that's around you. You don't have to wear the stigmas of what the world says in you. And they'll give it to you. Let them do it. And you know what? You'll sit back. You'll wear the garments. And you'll go out and battle. And you'll go, oh, I just can't do it. Probably should find someone else today. See, because God hasn't called me. A friend of mine always calls me once in a while. She loves to tell me that I'll read through the pages of the book. She says, well, I can't find God on those pages. She said, I might not be in those pages. That word is for someone else and not for me. But that's what the world wants you to believe. They want you to believe that God is not in what you're doing. Go in the strong name of the Lord. David said the words very victorious. He said, you might come out in your power, but I come out in the name of the Lord. You might come against me with a spear and a sword and the power of what you know, but I come into a God who's more victorious. Don't wear what is not from God. And I suggest to you today that if you're going to go into battle, throw it off. David was able to do that, and he was victorious. Paul talked about running a race. You can run it. Let that go and live for God. Father, thank you, Father, that we don't have to wear what the world thinks we should wear. Thank you that we don't have to have the stigmas or the tags. We don't have to have, Father, the words that come from others. It doesn't matter what the world has to say. It only matters what my God believes in me. Father, it doesn't matter where I'm old, whether I'm white or black, whether I'm male or whether I'm female. God, you have given us power, and you've loved every one of us, and you've given us a tagline that says, you are my child. I love you. Even when the world doesn't love you, I care for you. Even when nobody else does. I've given you power when there is no power. I've changed your impossible to possible. I've changed you from what you can't do to where you can do. Father, you've given us not a stigma and not a tag of the world, but you've given us the power of a God who is on the mountaintop. You've given us the tag of my God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You've given us the power of a God who can raise the dead, who has gone from death to eternity. You've given us a God who can open my eyes, who can cause my ears to hear, my mouth to speak, my heart to feel, my mind to think. You can take my legs that are weak and give them power today, God. We have a God who is victorious, and we're going to face the enemy, and we're going to wear the power of God in what we believe today. God, you're going to allow us to leave today and throw off the stigmas of this world and run the race that is with perseverance that's marked out for us. And we're going to win that race. We're going to have victory today. Oh God, let us not wear what the world wants us to wear. And let us rise up in victory today. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name I pray.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God. Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
On, name above all names.
He's the name above all names. Worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Oh, the name above all names. Say the name above.
God.
One more time, he's the name above all names. Say,
the name above all names. Worthy of all praise. And my heart will see how great is our God. Our God, sing with me how great is our God, and all will sing how great is our God.
One more time as a church.
How great is our God.
Sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Father, I pray that we will go today in the power of your love, that everyone around us, and even ourselves, may see how great is our God. Father, let us wear your presence today. Throw off that which so easily besets us. Thank you, God, for your word and the power. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Go in his peace.